Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
And now, Oklahoma City Sports Radio gets serious with the dominant duo, Jim Traeger and Al Eschbach. It's Total Dominance on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
We're back in today for Mr. Sparky. And I haven't said this in a long time. I'm now joined by the legend of radio, King of the Midgets, and the world champion at Freestyle. He is also a member of the Broadcast and Journalism Hall of Fames in the state of Oklahoma, Mr. Al Eschbach. And this show's known as The Dominant. Why are you messing with me, Al? Come on, dude. I've been around you way too long. Dominant. Tony, why are you letting him do this, Tony?
He didn't answer me either. So does that mean we have an issue? See, that's why we should never do that.
Do we have an issue?
I don't know. Sometimes he plays possum.
Does he look like he's okay? Is he up?
He ain't in here.
Well, then he's messing. Then he's messing with us. Do you have him on a line, Tony?
I don't hear him. We'll have to work on this.
Are you kidding me?
Did he fall back asleep?
I don't know. He's been sleeping for about 15 hours. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. He's either doing a great job of messing with us or we got a problem. You there, Al? It's probably one of the buttons that got picked up. I don't know. Amazing. Well, I was really excited about hearing from Al today. So I don't know what's going on. Anything, Tony? Okay. Well, we will we'll try to figure out what the heck is going on. Anyway, a lot of things are happening. If you're just joining in, a lot of things. The NFL is going crazy today. My Steelers just made a move. Patrick Peterson. So earlier in the day, they lost Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton really, really played well for them last year at corner. And the Detroit Lions gave him a bunch of money. A bunch of money. And then what happened? The Steelers, right after that, get an agreement with Patrick Peterson. 2-year contract. And this is, obviously, he's older, a decent amount older than Patrick Peterson. And then Cam Sutton, but he can play. He can really, really, really play. So, we got that stuff going on. We got a lot of things going on. Of course, we talked a lot about the NCAA tournament. I do not have a bracket filled out yet. I'm off tomorrow. Tomorrow I will be and getting a very important MRI on my back, so to see exactly what everybody wants to do with it, because I'm really, really sick and tired of feeling the way I'm feeling. So Tony knows how I'm feeling. Tony has a bad back, too. So
the time is near to take care of this.
It looks that way. It does. I mean, we'll see what they say. What I do know is the last time I saw a back doctor was about a year ago, and he told me, he said, look, he said, there's nothing to do surgery-wise if you don't have pain running down your leg. Well, in the last 3 months, the pain has gotten excruciating down the leg. Not only my back of my leg, but the groin, running down like the groin front of my leg. And it has been horrible. So I guess it's time to really find out exactly what's going on and see if I need to have a surgery. So don't want to. I've done, you know, knock on wood, I've done really good here not having surgeries. I'm trying to think the last surgery I had, Tony, was my brain surgery. I did do my eye, but that doesn't really count. You know, that's just cataract surgery. That's just like, boom, they get it done, you're out. So, but yeah, the last surgery I had was my brain surgery. So that I can remember. Maybe I had another one. I don't even remember. So anyway,
I feel Al's a late scratch like KD was against the Thunder.
Did he get hurt in practice?
It could have very well happened.
You think after Al slept for like 15 hours, he got up to like go to the bathroom and fell down or something? Let's hope not. He's running on weird time, obviously. Do we have him? Al Especk, is that you?
You are not going to believe the story I'm about to tell.
Uh-oh. First of all, can I say hi to you? How are you? You doing okay?
Nelly.
You're not?
You hear the story?
I love your stories. What are you talking? I wait for your stories. I crave your stories.
Okay. I woke up about 45 minutes ago.
I know that. I found that out because we all tried to figure out. We were worried about you.
Okay. The clock said 10:30 in the morning. So I think it's now 11:15 in the morning.
So your clock must have gone out while you were gone.
Yes.
Is that, and you didn't know that?
Now I know why everybody was concerned. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I was getting I got text messages from Cisco and Al. Okay. Well, I said, well, why don't you call his son? So we called. He texted Max. Everybody's trying to find out what's wrong.
It's unbelievable.
You slept till about 3 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah. I was up, I guess, like 40 hours. I have never, ever slept like that.
What? Would you knock out about 15 straight hours, or what?
I got to bed about midnight, so...
15.
That is unbelievable.
Are you feeling strong? You feeling good now?
Not really. I feel like a zombie still, but... I mean, that is unbelievable. I get a text and they go, you know, which line are you on? I'm going, oh, my goodness.
So you didn't even know you were supposed to be on the
air. I'm in for service mess by Eagle. I'm going to tell you about that also. But unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah, that is amazing, isn't it?
Now, you want to hear my stories?
Oh, I can't wait. First of all, overall, did you have a good time?
Had a great time until yesterday.
Well, and yesterday you were on the plane.
You're going to relate to some of this.
Okay.
Okay. I'm coming back. And I got to go through. I'll come back through Tokyo. Well, a problem is I flew into Narita, which you know about. Well, I had to fly. My next flight to L.A. was from Haneda, another airport there. Okay?
Wait a minute now. It's called Narita, right?
I flew into Narita. I fly out of Haneda.
Haneda?
Yes.
Well, that is so weird. I knew there was another airport there, but where did that fly to?
It flew to L.A.
Wow, was it same airlines?
Yes, Well, from well, Japan Airlines to American Airlines.
Oh, well, that's okay. So it was a different airline. That's it. Okay.
But American Airlines flies out of
I know it does. Of course it does. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
So but it's about an hour and a half between airports. Okay?
So they what they do? They put you on a like a shuttle bus or something?
No. Okay. Here's the story. So I get in, and then my plane leaves at 8:30. I mean, gets in at 8:30. And I have like a my next plane leaves at 1 o'clock, and so I'm okay. Well, I get to Tokyo, and the Japanese usually are so far ahead of everything. They're so far behind on getting in. They're the only ones that you got to fill out papers anymore to do.
For what?
So,
for like you mean for COVID?
No. Okay. Oh. Well, it started before leaving Thailand. I am so lucky. I get to the airport, and they go, you know, you have to have three vaccinations getting to Japan.
What? Three vaccinations? You mean
three.
Like two vaccinations and a booster, you mean?
Yes.
Wow.
I am so lucky. For some reason, I carried the vaccination, too. But
sure.
Right before I left my hotel room, I was leaving. I saw something on the floor under my desk that I was working at, and it was the card for my third vaccination. So I'm so lucky I had that card as I was leaving. Of course, I would have been still in Thailand now. Okay, so that I get that. So I'm through there. I land at 8:30. I'm still in line to get out of just going through immigration, customs at 9:30. Finally, I get to the thing at like 9:45 to give the dude the passport. I'm sure I'm putting on my luggage. Anyway, I'm in 10 minutes. Everybody must be really mad. This dude's going, look at my passport, this and that. He goes, come here with me. They put me in a room.
Uh-oh. The room.
Yeah. Well, 10 minutes later, another guy comes out. He comes, come with me. Looks for my passport again, thinking another thing. Give my passport and boom. I go get my bag. It's now about 10:05, and I'm a little concerned. I walk in to get a train now to this other airport, right? Well, the one I had to wait like 45 minutes. Now I'm almost getting in a panic mood. I go, I need something sooner. Okay, they said, well, what we do, we get you a train, but then you have to go on a subway and two stops, two changes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, I get on the train. No one speaks English. You know, you can write. No one speaks English.
Right.
Finally, I get myself on a train. There's like four people in this whole part section. This one guy coming from England, I guess, he gets on the train and goes, you're sitting in my seat.
What?
This guy may have been the worst person in my life. Yeah.
So was it a bullet train?
No.
So it was just a regular subway train?
It wasn't a subway. It was a train, but it was not a bullet train.
No, there's not. They don't have assigned seats, do they?
Yes. I looked at my ticket and they did.
Okay. Well, then it's okay. I understand now. I thought it was just a regular train, but it's obviously, it's not a bullet train, but it's under the bullet train. You know, it's like under their service. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So what happened next?
So
I'm
trying to ask them and everybody else, what do I do next? I have no idea. Was I to change somewhere? And finally they said, get off at the first stop here, which is into the city. So I get off. Now I'm trying to find out, where do I go next? Well, I got to take a subway. And again, no one speaks English. I'm chilling. I need to go to Haneda Airport. No one knows. So finally.
Now, it's all written in English, though, right?
It's not written where the train goes.
So each stop, though, it'll say, like,
each stop,
the stop.
It'll say, which yeah. I really, okay. Anyway, I finally had to ask a million different people, and then a million different people with a million different answers to what train you're on. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I finally get on the subway,
you're hoping it's the right one.
And I have no idea where to get off this time. I was lucky these two people, I started talking to them. They translate with their phone and help me. And they said, okay, you got to get off at this stop. Then you got to go to the monorail. and then go to the monorail. That will take you to the airport.
Wow.
Okay. I get off. I'm ready to go on the monorail, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've lost my ticket.
Ticket to get on the monorail or get on the plane?
The monorail.
Okay. Where'd you? How could you lose a ticket?
It wound up later on when I'm on my plane coming back. It was in my computer bag.
Oh my god.
Okay, so now I have no idea, and I'm getting and no one like. Okay, so that's fine. Let me get back on the subway. I'll buy a ticket back on, right?
Mm.
I have no yen.
That's right.
Can I give you a credit card? No.
So okay. Did you change some money? Exchange some money?
I couldn't, Jim. I mean, I guess that's what I probably... I don't think at the subway you could do. There was no money change at the subway station. Okay?
Wow.
So now I go, I'm panicking. It's now... Oh, it was now about... My plane leaves at 1:05. It's now 11... almost noon. Okay, right?
Wow.
So then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a taxi. I figure I was only one stop away, so the airport could be far. The airport was about 15 minutes from this thing. You know how much a taxi cost me in that 15-minute ride?
I'm going to say $50.
$60. Okay?
You paid in cash?
I get to the airport, the check-in had just closed. But they opened up for me. I told them I had a severe back problem, but I couldn't walk. They got me a wheelchair to the plane. I got on.
Jeez, man. What in the world? That's just crazy.
That was my day.
Well, you do me a favor. Make sure next time that you fly out of the same airport.
Trust me. I will never. Let that happen again.
It'd be better if you had like a 8-hour layover than have to do that. Because you know Narita is not a bad airport. You and I've talked about.
Well, it's the worst for it's the worst. And then okay, I'm trying to leave the subway station. Where's your ticket? I mean, what do you mean with ticket? You got to keep your ticket. Get out of the subway station.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would
it makes no sense? No sense. And what they do going through customs. In Japan is the worst I've seen. They're so far behind things, it's unbelievable. And they're so far ahead of things usually like that, and it was just no. But
okay. I just got a message on Instagram from a woman that said this. I'll just read it to you. Al's not allowed to leave anymore. This time we had tornadoes in Norman. He leaves and the weather goes to blank. So there you go. People are tired of you leaving.
I asked my sons. They knew nothing about the tornadoes.
Oh, they had tornadoes. People got houses obliterated. The dude who played football for OU had his house obliterated.
That's what I hear. I mean,
Yeah, there were definitely tornadoes.
I do have a couple of funny stories to tell you.
Oh, good. Well, I can't wait to hear them. Why don't we take a break? I love your stories. Everybody
Service
does.
Made by Eagle Eye.
Yeah, Jim? It's good to have you back, though. It is good to have you back.
Yeah, it's not really
a lot of crazy
back,
things. I'll tell you what you missed.
I mean, I come back. Spring is next week.
It's cold. It has been cold. And I'll tell you this, dude. You missed some of the worst football you could ever watch in your life. Ugh. OU and OSU, dude, they are just, it is so bad.
Pathetic program right now. Pathetic.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we go to break, I will tell you that I came on the air, when was it, Tony? Would have been Friday, right? I think it was Friday after OSU lost the night before, and I said, look, what I'm getting ready to say has no chance to happen, but I have a bad feeling that all we're doing by keeping these two coaches is that we are delaying the inevitable. That's what I believe. I think next year, Al, at this time, I think there's a legitimate chance that both of them are gone.
I agree.
And frankly, I'm not going to come right out and go, they should be fired, because obviously both of them know basketball and, you know, they're good people, but it ain't going anywhere.
If Boyd was at OU, he already would have been fired. Joe Castiglione wouldn't put up with one NCAA appearance in 6 years.
It's bad. dude. And I'm telling you, their offense is the most embarrassing offense I've ever seen.
Wait, the OU ISU game must have been the worst game in the world to watch. I mean,
you mean the Bedlam game?
The Bedlam game.
Yeah, about 26-20 at the half.
Yeah.
Okay. And then OU scored 10 points, Al, the last minute and a half when the game was over, or they'd have had 39 total points, Al. They had 39 points with a minute and a half left, and they ended with 49. Al, you've never seen anything like it. Oh, it was impossible. We can talk about it. It's just embarrassing. I mean, it's just both schools, just embarrassing. And then to show you how bad college basketball is, OSU is the number one seed in the NIT. That should show you how bad that tournament is. Crazy stuff. I'm in for Mr. Sparky today. It's time for an OG&E break. OG&E is celebrating Women's History Month. More with the legend, more stories on the Animal.
Let me tell you about Service Match by Eagle Eye.
Yeah, go ahead, Al. Yeah, go ahead. I'm up for you, too.
Jamie Mullen, they did the work for me. I mean, the last time I came back, everything was flooded and everything. Pipes froze. And let me tell you, they're the best. Service Match by Eagle Eye.
Very nice. We'll be back on The Leader in Sports. This show's known as The Dominant
Duo.
Message marked urgent.
Want to share your take? Call the Lucky Star line at 405-900-WWLS.
There's something wrong with the phone.
Powered by Lucky Star Casino. Agree?
He's right.
Disagree?
They're both right.
Yeah.
Win free tickets and prizes. Save it on your phone. The Lucky Star line is 405-900-WWLS. 98.1 FM. WWLS, the sports animal.
Johnny the Hurricanes. Is that like the Bumblebee something?
That's pretty good.
The what?
The Bumble Boogie.
Hey, I haven't lost it, man.
No way.
Of course you haven't lost it. Do you have new, did you bring home new songs?
Absolutely. You want
to
see what he
we'll have to
Johnny?
We'll have to do that.
Do you want to
we'll
do
have
it
to
now
do that
or
in a little bit.
Later?
No, I want to hear his stories,
okay,
and then we
okay.
can. And then also, now I'm going to be off tomorrow, Al. I got to get an MRI, so I won't be here tomorrow, but I'll be back on Wednesday when you're
serious?
Yeah, real serious. My back has gone so bad.
Oh, really? I hate to hear that.
Yeah, so we're going to try to make a decision on what we're going to do because I think I may have to have some surgery, but we'll see. What was I going to say to you, though? You're in for Service Master by Eagle Eye, and I am here in today for Mr. Sparky. And this show is known as a total
dominance
hour. We didn't get to see that earlier, say that earlier, because you thought it was 11:30 in the morning when it was really actually 4. That's unbelievable.
Hey, and that's about how to trust the clock, right? I mean, you can. And let me tell you something. When I woke up at 10:30 by the clock, which it wasn't, I was thinking, I need to get back to sleep. I mean,
that'd be good.
Is that, yeah.
You know, that's why you always have to look at your phone nowadays.
Well, and I don't keep my phone in the bedroom. But I was on the phone, and I never looked at the time on the phone.
Right. Yeah, that's, I have started now to look at the phone for every time. Like we're in a hotel. We were up playing poker up in Tulsa this weekend, and I switched the clocks, and, you know, I did it because I knew we were going to move ahead. But I always, always look, because you never know, man. Electricity goes off in the middle of the night. The clock is different, you know. So I always look at the phone nowadays for times, and the phone is always right.
Well, yeah, it's just absolutely insane. I mean, but I'm a dumbass.
So tell me another story. What do you got?
Okay. First of all, my new best friend in, you want to hear a name of this person?
Sure, sure. What do you got?
P-H-I-M.
Fim?
A-A-L-A-N. C-H.
Fimilinach? Filimach?
Filwanich, her name is.
Filwanich?
No, Pim. Pim Wananche. Filwanich.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's my new best friend in Thailand. Okay. I'm there. I got... Oh, let me tell you a second story. Okay. I usually don't do... I do stupid things all the time. One of the dumbest things I did, and a few times, and this was without alcohol when I did this, I'm easy rider. I'm on a taxi on a motorcycle, and these dudes are cutting through traffic going. It was so frightening, Jim.
You're on a motorcycle?
I'm not driving it. I'm on.
You're riding on the back of a motorcycle?
Yes.
What in the world are you talking about? Get your motor running.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a taxi on a motorcycle.
And they cut through, Jim. They cut through all kind of things. It's just go. They make their own lanes. It's like really, really scary. But
wow,
okay. Let me tell you about the dumbest thing I've done. Sure. I had a horrible cough. I mean, I couldn't sleep at nighttime. I was coughing so badly. It just is unbelievable. So. Then I go to the store, 7-Eleven. I'm trying to get, what do you want? I go, no, I'm trying to point. You know, for cough drops, right?
Right.
So, dude, he points to this thing and goes, really good, really good. So I'm taking, and Jim, I take one capsule that night. I'm not coughing anymore. It was like a miracle drug. I couldn't believe it.
Okay.
So, and then I went, you know what? Before I left, I went and bought two packages of it. So, I said,
now, wait, before you, like, is it a cough syrup? Is it met? What is it?
It was
pills?
A capsule. It was a capsule.
Oh, it's a capsule.
It was a capsule. Okay.
You don't have any idea what it is? What's the name of it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I went and looked it up, man.
Oh, okay.
And it was like K some, it was in, everything was in a far. So I get on the internet and, ding, and it's translated. And you know what it's for?
I'm going to say
constipation.
Constipation?
Yeah.
And it got rid of your cough?
Yeah.
Now, did you start pooping like crazy?
No.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. I thought it was the most brilliant thing in the world, and it was not for cough drop. It was not, and had nothing to do with coughing.
Oh, my. What in the world?
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Is that unbelievable?
And you didn't cough anymore?
No.
And, like, so did you, like, the next day you have to take another one and another one, or?
No, I took, I got eight of them. I wound up in a four-day period taking it, but now I brought eight back, so if I cough again, I got this stuff, then I.
Jeez, you need to show that to a doctor and make sure what it really is. You never know what might be in there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Is that unbelievable?
That is crazy.
And then, okay. Last Tuesday, this is Monday, so last Tuesday I'm sitting by myself, and I'm going, I'm not coming back here this summer. I go, my body's beat down, I'm partying too much, I cannot do this. I was so worn out, and then by Friday or Saturday, I'm back here in a heartbeat, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going on a cruise. I'm going to the Mediterranean. Going to do that. I'm just going to relax. I'm not going to do anything. And now you're going back again? In a heartbeat. Yeah, I wish I'm in 120 days.
It's 120 days?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like it started out. I get in to my hotel at 2:05 in the a.m. 2:20 a.m. I'm at a bar with my friends until 6 a.m. That started the trip, but I had not, you know, obviously not slept in 20 hours or so. No more than that. It was about 31 hours or so by then when I got there. So that was sort of, but I had a great time. I just had a great food.
So you need a vacation to recover from your vacation.
Yes, that's basically what I'm saying. Yeah.
Jim and I wondered if it was a sprint to the end, or clearly do you back off as the vacation starts to wind down?
We also were talking about like the last 4 or 5 days. Are you thinking, you know what, I'm ready to go home, or you're thinking I want to stay here for a lot longer? Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on?
Oh, it was mixed. I need it.
I know you missed your grandbabies. I know you missed your grandbabies.
Oh yeah, my family and everything. That's something. You're ready to get home and see people, and there's no doubt. And yeah, Jim, it's like I was thinking, okay, I was there for 2 weeks and I go, I got two more weeks though. So
That's long. I've never gone on a 4 week vacation.
Yeah.
Ever in my life.
It was nice. And again, the people there are just so wonderful.
Let me ask you this, Al.
Yeah.
Over the years, has the price of the hotel gone up?
No.
What are they doing over there? Did they not realize, like, that you're, I mean, that's crazy.
Well, there are other hotels, Jim, that are expensive. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I mean, yeah.
Is there a casino there in Phuket?
No, I kind of think that's the next step there. Thailand's a pretty liberal place, and right next to the German place I eat every night is a cannabis shop. Right down block are two more cannabis shops.
It's legal?
Yeah, it's totally legal. You don't need a card either or anything.
So it's just recreational then, I guess.
That's how, like I said, so I would think gambling would be definitely next there.
Do they have crime over there?
No, it's so safe. Like I say, I walk the street. I'm sure somewhere, like anywhere else, but it's such a safe place to be. It is just, I kind of think, and I just guess, if you commit a crime, I think you're going to get punished pretty severely.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. So.
Man, that's crazy. So you're definitely going back then again in July.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go see Pim Lockwell. Watch ya. What I mean, just
you better figure out her name. That'd be a nice thing to figure out her name.
But no,
call her Pim.
The food was just like a sea bath. The fruits,
zombies. Speaking of food, Al, I ate something last night that you would love. So I played in this big poker tournament up in Tulsa, finished 37th out of 1,100, but I was mad because I got knocked out in a crazy hand. I was planning on hopefully winning that thing. But anyway, I get knocked out. Julie and I, we watch some golf and stuff, and then we leave the hotel and we drive home, and we say, let's go eat. So there's this restaurant up in Tulsa. It's an Italian restaurant, Al. It's called Tiamore. Anyway, it is out of this world, okay? And Al, I had ossobuco, and this veal, Al, was so good. This veal shank was, I thought to myself, Al would tear this thing to shreds. It was so good, Ben. You like veal shank, the ossobuco?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I knew you did. It was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean,
So by the way, while you've been gone, Al, I've been losing so much weight, you're not even going to recognize me.
Really?
Tony, tell him. Tony. Tell him.
It's fading away, the pounds.
Wow. So what happened to your back? So what's wrong with your back?
Well, it's been bad for a while, but it's just gotten worse and worse and worse, and now the pain's running down my leg, in the front of my leg, the back of my leg. The other day, I fell down. My leg just gave out and fell. I just fell down on the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we're going to go and look and get this MRI, and we're going to try to decide on what the course of action is because it's just not working.
Surgery?
I think it's going to have to be surgery, yeah.
Wow.
I've been avoiding it for a while, but now it's just, yeah. I just can't take it anymore.
Oh,
and Julie's
goodness.
Tired of listening to me. I'm just a pain. I'm just a big old pain to be around because I'm just always in pain. So,
I thought of you guys, man. Every time I'm doing stuff, whatever, I'm thinking of Jim. You know, everything. We've been doing this such a long time, and everything.
I know it. I know, dude. Well, we miss you when you're gone, man.
It's just unbelievable. And
you've missed a lot of interesting stuff, man.
The day you left, Kevin Durant goes to the Suns the next day. You know, your first day on vacation, and
I know it, man.
It's just crazy. And then I get back last night. I pick up, I read Barry Trammell's column, goes, well, they may only be playing 8 conference games in the SEC.
Yeah, that whole thing, you just don't have any idea. But we do kind of know now, it looks like, who OU's 3 guaranteed
games are.
I saw,
yeah, Florida, Texas, and Missouri.
Yeah, and that's a nice little one.
And I would have liked Arkansas.
Yeah, I would love to have them play Arkansas. It's just not going to happen because, you know, Arkansas has to play Missouri too. But listen, Alabama got the worst of the bunch.
I saw that.
Jeez.
Saban can't be real happy at all.
No, he wasn't. He came right out. They interviewed him right away, and he said, I don't know if this is very fair. So, yeah, they got it tough. Alabama did. Of course, you know how the people are around here. They're like, certainly didn't feel sorry for him at all. So.
Yeah. What did Saban say?
He just said that it didn't look fair. He just said it just...
Good for him.
He was not happy. And frankly, Tram and a lot of other people believe that he's going to get it changed. So, somehow. Because he has so much power.
That's beautiful.
We're going to talk to Tram.
They haven't officially announced it yet.
No. But it looks that way. You never know. They could change a little bit. So.
Right.
But he, he's got a tough, man. You got LSU, Auburn, and Georgia, right? No, excuse me, and Tennessee. Tennessee, Auburn, and LSU. That is a threesome now.
Well,
especially with Tennessee,
you know,
getting better.
Well, that's what I was going to say. 4 years ago, you go, yeah, I'll take that every day of
and
the week.
And Tennessee is one of the bottom 8. So that's their bottom 8 team that they got.
And then you look at what the program, and let me tell you, I don't want to hear OU basketball fans, Oklahoma State basketball fans say, well, the Big 12 is really tough. Well, you know what? OU and Texas and OSU, well, you'd be better than those programs, okay?
Yep. No, basketball is just ridiculous. We need to take an OG&E break. We'll take tell them real quick where you are, Al.
Service Master Restore by Eagle Eye. You got some cleaning stuff out. I'm going to be telling you about it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Jamie Moen, you got Wardenhouse, things like that. I'm going to tell you all about it. They did stuff for me. What about you, Jim?
I'm in for Mr. Sparky. We'll come back with Mr. Barry Trammell. This show's known as the Dominant
Duo.
This is your Oklahoma City Thunder All Access Pass, sponsored by Lucky Star Casino. Now here's Gideon Hamilton on WWLS, the Sports Animal.
It was a weekend sweep on the road for Oklahoma City, defeating New Orleans and San Antonio. First-round pick Jalen Williams on how the Thunder are becoming a better team away from home.
I think we're doing a good job. I think we're getting stops when we need them. I think we're starting to share the ball and kind of come together more as a team. I think everybody's getting more comfortable playing with each other. And I think we know what it kind of takes and what kind of effort we need to bring to win on the road.
The Thunder are back in action tomorrow night when they host Brooklyn.
This has been your Oklahoma City Thunder All Access Pass on your Oklahoma City Thunder flagship station, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
Now, Barry Trammell joins Al Eschbach and Jim Traver. This is Total Dominance, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
We're back. I'm in today for Mr. Sparky. Al is in for Service Master by Eagle Eye, and we're joined by Mr. Barry Trammell. And this show's known as the Total
Dominance
Hour.
Tram, how you doing today?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all, really.
Good.
Not too bad.
Say hi to Mr. Eschbach. This is Mr. Al Eschbach.
It's very nice to have you back, Al.
How are you, Barry?
We've gone 5 weeks or four? 5 weeks or four?
Just four. Don't exaggerate.
Just 4 weeks?
Okay. It seemed like five. That's what it seemed like. But I will tell you that there are a lot of things that happened while Mr. Eschbach was gone. And I guess you wrote an article, Tell the People, Tram. I read the article. Al did, too. If people didn't get to read it, you said that there's a chance that the SEC may have 8 conference games, which really changes up that whole deal we talked about last week with teams playing three teams. Right, Tram?
Yeah, you know, we've been talking for a year or so, but they settled on 2 possibilities, a 9-game and an 8-game, and we all are sort of, you know, Nick Saban supported this. A lot of people in the SEC, especially the heavyweights, they wanted to play 9 conference games, but after talking to people in Kansas City from OU and Texas, you know, the 9-game is not for sure. I mean, the 8-game could carry the day, and if it does, what you'll do is every team has 1 permanent opponent, And then you rotate the other 14 schools every, you know, every 2 years. So you'll still see people twice every 4 years, but you'll only have one permanent opponent every year.
Do you guys better?
I would think, you know, we talk about Saban's thing. I would think Saban would like that. Would he not?
Well, I think Saban wants nine, but when he found out the three that he was going to have to play, I think he might have changed a little bit, right, Tram?
Well, that is possible. There's no doubt about that. That's very possible. I hope they go to nine.
I think it'd be ridiculous if they only played eight, guys. I'm sorry. You're the number one conference in the country. You're the biggest one now. You should be playing nine. Yeah.
When will that decision be made? The spring meetings?
Spring meeting, which is at the end of May in Destin, Florida. They feel like they almost have to get it done by then. So that decision should be made by here within a couple months.
Well, it is. It's going to be interesting. Real quick, guys. You know, OSU doesn't get in the tournament. I said last week that they, you know, if they don't get in, I certainly wasn't going to fight for them because I don't know if they really deserve it. And then, Tram, they end up the number one seed in the NIT, which to me shows you how bad that tournament is if they're the number one seed in the whole thing. You know what's interesting?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Lenardi got 67 of 68 teams this year. And I'll tell you, for one of the very first years ever, I don't think one team got snubbed. There's not one team. Usually there's two or three you are like, gosh, I can't believe it. There's not one team that you look at and said, gosh, can't believe they didn't get in. Do you know that, Tram? Not one.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you say OSU's number one seed, that means they were the first team out.
That's right, yep. And they're not very good.
Here's the deal.
And they didn't earn it.
They're not that good, and we know they're not that good, and truthfully, they know they're not that good. So it's unfortunate. It's been cool. I was pulling for them to get in. You know, if Arizona State doesn't sink that 55-foot shot against Arizona, they're probably in.
You're right.
Avery Anderson doesn't get hurt. They're going to get in. If they had to beat Southern Illinois back in November, they'd have got in. But all those things happened.
While you were gone, Al, they had three straight home games. It was Kansas State, and TCU. All they had to do, and they were in every one of those games for a long period of time. Baylor. All they had to do was win one of those games. That's it. All three, we had good crowds at all three of them, and they lost every one of them. If they were 9-9, they're getting in, guaranteed. So it's their own daggone fault.
Here's the thing. I said this very early. If the goal for OU and OSU is to get in the NCAA tournament, it's pathetic. It and I don't want to hear, well, the Big 12 stuff. You know why? Because OU and OSU used to be better than these programs. OU was, we've said all the time, other than Kansas, they've been over better than Texas. I don't want to hear that. It's their fault what's going on. Put Kelvin Sampson back at OU. They're the top 10 team in the country. I mean, OU, what has Boynton ever finished higher? Has he ever finished? He's never finished in the top four, has he?
No. Look,
is that how far that program is?
I think he was with Cade, I think he was the third seed, wasn't he?
I don't think so. Let me.
The fact of the matter, we got to go break. Right. We come back and talk about it more. But the standards have been massively lowered, and I said this last week, and I'll say it again. And I know Chan, you don't totally agree, but I think all we're doing is delaying the inevitable. I really do. I don't think either one of these guys. And here's the other thing, guys. After Iba and before Sutton, they won two tournament games.
Okay.
After Boynton, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Boynton, tied for 6th, 9th, tied for 7th, 5th, 7th. That's it.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I was going to say, Tram, and then since Eddie Sutton, they've won two tournament games, and Eddie won 22. So Mark Rogers have been saying for a couple years now that he thinks it's just the coaches at OSU, and maybe it is, Tram. Maybe their program's not near as good as we give credit for. Is that wrong?
No.
Tram left us, I think. I don't know what happened. Anyway, yeah, just 22 games that he won in the tournament, two since and two before, Al. Is that crazy?
Yeah, just unbelievable. Yes.
We'll talk more about it when we get back. Time for an O'Genie break. And they're going to celebrate Women's History Month. Al is in for Service Master by Eagle.
Or Eagle Eye, going to be telling you all about Jimmy Mullen. You need stuff cleaned and everything. They're the best.
I'm in for Mr. Sparky, 888-8-SPARKY, MrSparky.com. Great place. You hear me talking about him every day. More with Mr. Al Eschbeck and Mr. Barry Trammell. It's shows known as a Total
Dominance
Hour.
WWLS-FM, The Village, Oklahoma City, your home of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Cumulus Media Station. And now, more Total Dominance.
Total Dominance?
Never! On 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
And we're back. Back with a show known in Watonga as the Total
Dominance
Hour.
Jim's in for Mr. Spark. I'm for the Service Master. Restore by Eagle Eye. Okay, let's go on again. The OU-OSU basketball. I don't want to hear these people talk about how tough the conference is. That's a terrible excuse, I think.
No, I would agree. I mean, 70% of the conference got in, so why are you part of the 30%?
When you used to be better than these two programs.
Yeah. I don't know. And here's the one thing I'll say about the two is, Jim, you were throwing out some stats when I lost connection.
Yeah, we lost you there.
Between Iba and Eddie Sutton, OSU basketball won zero NCAA tournament games.
They only played two of them. They only played in two. Is that what it was?
They played in one, 1983.
Oh. Okay.
And
there
didn't
you go.
Win.
It's even worse than I thought.
And since Eddie has been gone, they have played in several, and they've won two NCAA tournament games.
So,
one under
so
Travis,
asking,
one under
I'm
Boynton.
Asking you, is Mark Rogers right when he says this is not a great program, it just has to do with who coached there?
That there's a lot of truth to that, yeah. It's an historic place because two guys came who were connected and spent, Iba was their head coach, 38 years, I think it was. 3 years, and Sutton 15, 16, so collectively almost half a century, but otherwise it's not a successful program at all.
Hey, let me, and on the other side, OU is totally different.
OU's been to five Final Fours under four coaches.
Well, and every coach since the late 70s, Trent Dave Bliss, has gotten at least to the Sweet 16.
Right. Capel went to an Elite Eight. Bliss went to a Sweet 16. That's exactly right. So it's a place where a whole lot of different coaches have had success, no doubt about it. John McLeod never made the NCAA tournament. Is back in the days when only one team could go.
But he would have if it was expanded.
Exactly, and he became obviously was a great coach. Went on to a fabulous NBA career. So, so they've had good coaches and lots of success.
You bring up Tram a really good point, and I'm not making excuses because remember I'm the one that thinks both coaches should probably be gone and will next year, but. OSU becoming such a good football school has obviously hurt the basketball program, right?
But has it when only two coaches have ever done it, though?
No, Al, I'm just bringing up a little bit.
I agree with you, Jim. I think
Mark Rogers has been way ahead of this. I'm giving it up to Mark. I think he's been right on
here's
the money.
Here's the thing. OSU is a football school.
And it became
a football school. I would say in the late, around 08, 09, 10.
Boone Pickens.
Right. It came after the stadium expansion. Gundy got things going. They won, in 08. They had a really good year in 09 and in 10, 11. 11 had the fabulous year. And that corresponds with the fall down from the basketball side. When Iba and Sutton were riding high, football was mediocre at best.
Yeah, you're nice. Mediocre a lot of best. Times it was horrible. Yes. Yeah, that's – yeah. Yeah. But again, I'm not trying to make any excuses. Both schools should be better. There's no doubt about it. They should both be better. I mean, should they be fighting to be Final Four teams? No. Once in a while, yes.
They should be in the top 20. They should be in the top 20.
Well,
that's what they used to be. Why shouldn't they be now?
You're right.
One reason might be in Stillwater at least, because the resources going towards the football program, and I'm not saying they shouldn't.
Yeah. Don't forget
the
too, they built,
should
built
be
a
in the NCAA
beautiful
tournament.
Baseball stadium. They built.
Everything
they're getting ready to build a softball
listen,
stadium. Good. I'm sorry.
The entire landscape of college basketball is built so that Power 5 conferences, Power 6, count the Big East, those schools have every advantage of getting into the NCAA tournament. And the NCAA tournament on a regular basis should be automatic for OU and OSU.
Not, right. That's what
miss
Al
it every said. Once in a while. Yeah. Miss it every once in a while. Kelvin missed it once and Billy twice. After his first year.
And, Eddie missed it twice.
Eddie missed it twice.
Remember when he said we're not going to the NIT?
That was 96. Exactly right.
Help me, because I didn't read the column, Barry, but I think that you wrote a column with Moja, the day before OU or Ed played in the Big 12 tournament there, what we're trying to say is trying to build a culture, but you can't do that these days. Is that?
Help
me. You wrote it. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, it's hard. I asked him a year ago. I said, Porter, are you trying to build a program? But you're trying to build a program, but this is an era when coaches have to build teams, basically year to year because of the portal. How do those things jive? And we talked about it a year ago. This year, it seems to be the same thing, only worse. So, he's going to have massive roster turnover again. I just don't know. And this is not his fault. It's just crazy, crazy environment of college basketball these days. But I don't know if you can build a culture. I don't know if you can build a program in which guys come in and stay 3 or 4 years. Kansas does it, but I don't know too many other people that do it. Iowa State's winning with portal-type situations. Texas, that's how Texas did it. That's how Kansas State certainly did it. Now, Baylor and Kansas have done it. They've got a lot of veterans. So, it just seems like a hard way to do it to me. I just don't know.
Well, Al, while you were gone, we talked about OU and about how, and by the way, their season's over now. They're not going to the NIT. So, Owe and Uzane are both really nice players. And, you know, Al, before you left, we talked a lot about how unathletic he is. After you left, he started playing Bomasil and Owe more, the two guys that were athletic. So he did right. make a little bit of a change. But here's the deal. How do we know they're staying?
Right. We don't.
Yeah. I mean, and then Tram brought up that he likes Hill. Hill, to me, he plays good defense, but he's up and down. And then the Cortez kid, I don't know what happened. I've heard from some people in Kingfisher area that he's not going to stay, but we'll see. But anyway, yeah, I mean, what's he going to do, you know? I mean, I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't see it ending well, Al. And if I'm wrong, you know me. I'll come on the air and say I was wrong. But
I mean, listen,
what's his name? Boyden's got a McDonald's All-American coming. Mark Rogers watched him the other night, said he's unbelievable. He's 6'10", from Del City, handles the ball, does everything.
Oh, yeah, so, Brandon Garrison, yeah.
Yeah, have you seen him, Tram?
No, I've not seen him live, but I've seen tape and, you know, followed him. And the guys today at our staff meeting were just raving about him.
Well, he's supposed to be unbelievable. So, you know, if they keep a couple of the guys they got.
Well, I mean, he brought Bryce Thompson. He was the top 25 kid in the country.
Right, which, by the way, was a massive overrating. Yeah. But that's fine. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. And listen, Moser's got two guys coming in that are like top 150 in the
Cooper,
country or something.
Yeah, I mean, so.
So I'm just saying next year,
who's going to stay at both programs? And
right. I'm just saying this, and I said this to Tram last week, and he doesn't totally agree with me, but in my opinion, both coaches should be on the hot seat next season, both of them. And I know it's early for Moser, and everybody loves the guy, but
– Well, let me ask you, Barry, why wouldn't Boyden be on a hot seat? Went to NCAA appearance in 6 years?
Couple of reasons.
Okay.
He's wildly popular inside the athletic department. Great to work with. Does anything they ask of him. Promotes the university in every way they need somebody to. Just a gem to work with. And just to be totally blunt, they have a football coach who is not. So
that's well said.
If you're running an athletic department, you got to think of everything. And maybe you go hire a basketball coach. Maybe he wins bigger and wins more. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But maybe he's a gem to work with, and maybe he's not. And the worst thing in the world is if you're trying to run an athletic department and you got two guys that you really sort of can't work with all that easy. Positions.
I want to let everybody know, Barry Trammell said that, not Jim Traber. I just want to let everybody know out there. So just want to let everybody know.
Hey guys, you got to help me on this too. I'm on vacation, right? And I look at the Thunder. Boom, at the All-Star break, they lose a game. Then SGA doesn't plan to go tank. And now all of a sudden they're in for a play. Tell me what's going on.
Well, first of all, Trent, this weekend they played New Orleans with their two best players gone. And then San Antonio, who's one of the worst NBA teams I've ever seen. And they're tanking. So those wins were good. But, yeah, Al, they're not tanking, Al. They're not tanking. They're going for it, right, Tram? They're playing.
Well, and here's the deal. The West, from about five down, nobody's winning. Everybody's churning water. Thunder hadn't been hot. They hadn't been on a big winning streak. Just been playing about 500. That's what Golden State's doing. That's what Dallas is doing. That's what the Clippers are doing. The Lakers. The Timberwolves. So, you know, the Thunder's still probably not a great pick to make it, but they could. They could get in there at 9-10 or even 8. Hey, I think they're two games out of fifth.
They are. They're two games out of fifth, and they're tied for 10th right now. And they have the tiebreaker against the two teams they're fighting with.
They're in a four-way tie for 9th.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But the other team has the.
I guess Santa Clara Wings has really played well.
Oh, gosh. He can't believe it, Al. Al, you can't believe it. You cannot believe it.
Al, he is. I mean, he is so good. And you know what's going on now, Al? He has this confidence about him that when Gilgeous Alexander was out, he said, okay, I'll be the number one player. I don't care if I'm a rookie. Right, Tram? I mean, he was just, yeah, watch me.
You know,
watch me.
Al, for the first couple of weeks after the All-Star break, he played a whole lot of power forward. He sort of had the Kenrich Williams role. He played a lot of small ball center, even.
And then he brought the ball down.
And in the last 2 weeks, he's been playing point guard.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he's just
listen to me, Al. I'll tell you this. If Holmgren is as good at what he does as Santa Clara Williams is as good at what he does, the Thunder in 2 years are going to be – they're going to have a chance. I was going over it today. I think they'll have a chance to be a home court team. I truly – now, they got to get a center who can protect the rim, and they'll get that. That's not that hard to find. But, Al, I'm telling you, this kid, he is – man, he's really good, really good.
You know what I thought, too? I looked about, and it didn't have the boxers. Lou Dort in the future – he cannot be taking
it's
as many shots as he
it's,
takes.
It's getting ridiculous. And Tram has convinced me. I'm listening to Tram. He's talked me off the ledge about five times that when this team gets better, he won't shoot as much. But I said today, Tram, if he's shooting like this in a couple years, I will rip him to shreds. It is ridiculous, the shot. And then Matt Ravis brought this up. They'll come out of a timeout, Tram, and with 15 seconds on the clock, he'll shoot the ball. I mean, I'm sorry, Tram. He's one of the best defenders in the league. You can't get rid of him, but he better slow down on his shooting.
Yeah, he definitely does. And here's the thing that drives me nuts. He's actually not bad at the three-point ball.
Well, he's down to 33.5 now, but go ahead.
I mean, but if you're one of the best defensive players in the league, you can live with that. It's his lack of finishing at the rim that drives me nuts.
Yeah, what is he shooting from two? What is it, Tram? Like, 40% from two or something, or it's not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's not good, and that's the thing that gets me is he just doesn't finish all that well. And you
well because he's going out of control most of the time.
Yeah,
you know,
a big strong guy like that ought to be able to finish at the rim. A 2-point field goal percentage. He's 44.8% this
year. I got 39.6 total for everything. But he's at the rim is where he's not good. What is he at the rim, Tram? Isn't he like
I got that. Yeah, I got
I
that.
I think he's like 38 or 40% at the rim or something.
He is 53% inside the restricted
okay.
area.
Well, that's bad.
And that's not good.
It's not good, but it's not as bad as I thought it was. So
I think it's the worst on the team.
Yeah, the future
looks good, Al. And Isaiah Joe, Isaiah Joe looks a little tired right now. And also, you know what they're doing with him, Tram? They're like when they get into a shot clock situation, they just throw it to him. I'm making an excuse for him, but it seems like he's taking a lot of into the shot clock shots nowadays, you know?
Yeah, they are asking him to bail him out a lot. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Al, the last few games, Jang has played really well.
Jang has
19 years old.
Well,
very promising.
Again, how's Giddey played?
Pretty good. Better, I'd say.
Yeah, he definitely has been better, Al. He's not shooting it great. He's up to he's shooting 32% from three, but his floor game, you know, Al, is so good. The one thing I like about him, too, is, Tram, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but he's not trying to make that incredible pass as much to me.
No, he's not.
Doesn't it look like that?
That is right. And he also he's the opposite of Dort. He's a really good finisher.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to the basket, and when he gets there, he's 6'8". So he's got, you know, 4 or 5 inches on Dort, so it's a lot easier for him to finish. And he's got this spin move. Jim, that spin move's really working.
It really is. And you're not blocking it because he's 6'8".
Yeah. And he's in the transition or driving downhill, and all of a sudden he spins because somebody's in his way. He just spins, and there he is.
You know, so we were talking now while you were gone. I think more than likely with the emergence of Santa Clara Williams that if this team's going to be the best that it can be, Giddey probably is going to be the sixth man.
Okay.
Probably. Now it could change, but I think, Tram, you actually thought that was a possibility too, right?
Yeah, and I think it's probably a pretty good idea, really.
Not now, when they become better.
Right, right, yeah. Right, right.
And well, Al, let me tell you something. Al, Arkansas Williams has been playing good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that you got to get Presti. I mean, it looks like he's done an unbelievable job drafting here lately.
I agree.
Well, this draft class is just crazy.
One of the best I've ever seen, really.
And you got Santa Clara, Arkansas, and Zhang, and your number two overall pick hadn't even got to play.
But that's the key, and Jim has said it many times. If this dude plays like a number two pick should, this franchise, this organization's on its way.
Oh, they'll be in such good shape. It'll be unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you got to hope, obviously, that he's healthy and everything, but I wish he could have played like the last 20 games this year, but it's the right thing to do what they did. Right, guys? I mean, it's
probably
the right
so.
Thing.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
Hey, Barry, thanks, man.
Thanks, Tram.
See you guys.
See ya. Jim, what's going on, Mr. Sparky?
Mr. Sparky. You hear me do the commercials all the time. They're amazing. Five-star electricians on a mission to leave your home safer and cleaner than when they got there. Beautiful vans with professional uniforms. And they offer same-day electrical service. Remember, MrSparky.com. Or remember, you don't have to call. You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY. What's up with
Service Master, Restore by Eagle Eye. Check them out at their new location, I-35 Road, just south of I-44 interchange. Look for the big yellow building, Jimmy Mullen. You got any water damage, something clean, COVID, anything. They do what they did for me. They're unbelievable. We're going to be telling you all about them big time. Let us take an OG&E break. Help celebrate Women's History Month. 98.1 FM to the Sports Center. What next, Dean, and more to the total.
Dominance.
Hour.
Hello.
Call the sports animal and be a Johnny's charcoal broiler first-time caller.
Let's talk.
All first-time callers win a $25 credit on the free Johnny's app. Download the free app today. Johnny's, an OKC legend since 1971 with locations all over the metro.
To the phones.
Now, Dean Blevins joins Al Eschbach and Jim Traver. This is Total Dominance on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
And we are back with the show known in Silicon Valley as a Total
Dominance.
Hour.
Jim's in for Mr. Sparky. I'm in for Service of Master Restore by Eagle Eye. Dina, how you doing, my man? Been a while.
Mr. Sparky, I would imagine I'm going to close my eyes and remember the time I ran into you in Las Vegas and try to picture you in New Delhi or wherever you've been. And you were Mr. Sparky, I bet, on your vacation.
there was a back in the 60s, the basketball player at Oklahoma State, Sparky Gruber was his
Sparky
name.
Sparky Gruber, absolutely. Sparky.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and Dean, you played basketball at OU, and we talked about this. It's so sad. I mean, OU and OSU basketball right now.
Yeah. No, it really is. I didn't realize that OSU was the first one out. I mean, I had heard that a lot, but I didn't know it. I mean, they flashed on the screen last night that they were the first one out. That's especially hard. I kind of thought.
But is that where the program is at now? Wow, we were the first one out. Where Eddie Sutton, hey, we're not in the top 20. This team, there's a problem.
That's funny that you say that. Hey, Jim.
Hi.
It's funny you say that because somewhere I was thinking of Billy Tubbs today. And remember back in the day, I mean, it was the number one seed overall. And there was not the hoopla. I mean, now it's such a big deal from the beginning of the season all the way through. But back in that era, I mean, I don't know that we appreciated it, Al and Jim, the way that we really should have, because it's not easy to do, as we are finding now.
Yeah, we kind of took it for granted. And now, boy, people would love to have it back. But there is no doubt that both of these programs have got to figure out a way to go in the right direction, because right now they're not going in the right direction. It's that simple. They're not.
Yeah. Just... I mean, to have one team not even be invited by the NIT is disgraceful, and the other not to, to make it again. Not good at all.
Boeing's made it just one out of six times.
No fun. Well, yeah, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, a couple of years, there were excuses, but no.
I know. You know, I said last year they were they were sick, like 16 to 15 last year, whatever.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something better. Guys, give me a sense. Anything with OU and OSU football is gone? Anything?
You mean on the field or off the field?
Well, what's going? Anything? Either.
I think that I'm hearing that the recruiting is actually going pretty well. It's not like they have a whole bushel of recruits committed in Norman, but I think that they, on the defensive line, feel pretty good about their positioning now. Now, there's a long way between now and signing day, but at least they know the priorities, and they've been capable of going out and signing big-time players in top four or five classes. So this needs to be the year where you have huge success in your most critical weak point and most critical point on the football team besides the quarterback. And that's those guys that get down on all fours defensively.
Yeah, boy. I wish that spring football would be open at both schools for everything, because I think it's really big at both schools this year. Even though I'm one of those people that don't believe that much in spring, but it's different because these young guys are all coming in early, Al, you know? So you really would like to see if any of these guys are, how close they are. You know, I said while you were gone to Dean, I said, I really want to see as many as, you know, maybe six, seven, eight freshmen play at OU. And Dean was like, but, you know, they got to be ready. And I was like, well, somehow they're ready at other schools. I mean, I'm watching these big boys.
No, Jim, I think that number's doable. In our conversations, I was thinking you were talking about a lot bigger number.
I'd like 10 or 12 if it could be. But I think that I just think that it's really important to find out about some of these kids. You know, Al? Because
if they didn't play them last year, why? I mean.
Well, maybe it's time to change the philosophy a little bit. Because I'll tell you what, this class this year was a lot better than last year's class, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the studs they brought in last year, they brought in four or five star guys that didn't play this year.
You're going to hate this, but most coaching staffs, and this definitely includes OU, they played the players they think give them the best chance to win. I know that sounds archaic. But that is the truth. And where I disagreed with Jim initially, and maybe we didn't disagree as much as I thought if we're talking about that limited a number, but I thought Jim was coming out and saying, hey, even at the risk of losing games this year, you got to get ready for next year and throw all those freshmen out there and get them in the mix so they'll be ready. And my comeback was, I'm not quite that gung-ho on it. I think a lot of these guys are good enough anyway get on the field, and they don't have a ton of talent over here that's going to keep them off the field. But I think after a 6-7 season, Brent Venables cannot give any game away to get experience for anyone.
He has to do what gives
him the best chance to win.
I will say that if I did say that, obviously you should kick me off the radio. I would never say lose games. but what I did say was, I think you need to use at least the four games that these guys are allowed to play. So, you know, when you're playing one of these games early that you're winning, even if it's not, Al, 35-0, even if it's like, if you're in the third quarter and it's, you know, let's say 21-7 or something, you give them some time, these young guys. That's all I'm saying. I think next year, obviously, is big, but the following year, you move into the new conference and, you know, they better hit the ground running is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's a good discussion. I mean, it's a good discussion, you know. But I understand that, you don't want to lose games. Heck yeah, he's got to win.
Well,
got to win.
You know, Jim, I think part of it is now if you have a kid, let's pick out Peyton Bowen. Well, in the quarterback.
Yeah.
But let's just say Peyton Bowen. Peyton Bowen's coming from Denton. I mean, Denton has produced players that are ready to go. But even Billy Bowman wasn't ready to step in day one and just take over. So, you know, you have to, even from guys that have played at that level, Texas big boy, big class football championship caliber, even those guys have a learning curve. And most of your recruits are not playing that level of football.
You know what's interesting? Bob Stoops had no problem playing freshman early.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Brent was a part of a lot of that down there when they played a lot of freshmen on defense. This past year, they just didn't. So,
their roster isn't but a yard long. They're going to be playing a lot of. They're going to have to play a lot of freshmen.
Let me ask you a question.
You saw the turnover.
Yeah, 53 players, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this, guys, both of y'all, because I don't know the answer. How many players from last year's class went into the portal? Do you have any idea?
I don't think a lot from last year's class did.
I don't know the answer. Because you really would like to – I mean, I know it's close to impossible, but you would really like to keep the entire class intact, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you're not going to play, the kids aren't going to play.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying you play guys that aren't ready, but it is hard for me to believe. You know what, Dean? There's other dudes, I'm sure, in this class they just signed that played a high level of football. So I'm just saying.
No, there are some.
It would be, to me, I just think that these young guys this class should be the start of something really big.
I think a guy, to me, that's going to be really, really, really important is the McCullough kid, the transfer from Indiana.
Yeah.
There are huge expectations for this kid, and especially if he plays the cheetah, which is such a big, important position.
Yeah. Well, and the Atabari kid who's coming in, who's I guess that was his brother, wasn't it, that just lit it up at the combine?
Yes.
He's as good a recruit, a good assignee as they had, Al, and he's a guy that definitely by the time they head to the Southeastern Conference for that first game, I would expect him to be a starter with star expectations.
Hey,
those are the kind of guys that you have to come through with. And that list, by the way, Jim, I don't have a computer around me. I don't ever look up anything while we're doing the show. So I don't know that number of rookies that would have left. It would not have been big at all.
Okay. Hey, the guy that I do radio with every week out in Elk City, Skinny sent me something. He says, sure seemed like BV played a bunch of young guys on those Clemson defenses. And he's right. He did. Mm-hmm. He played. Now, that's what I'm trying to say. Is this class that they got this last year, was ranked number 4 in the country, is it close to what they were getting at Clemson?
Yeah,
I would think yes.
He had some kids last year that were ranked every bit as high as the kids this year. He didn't play them.
Yeah, but not Al. He's the defensive coordinator. And what was the beautiful part of his system? What was the most important? It was those big old guys that we're talking about, the guys up front.
Yeah,
they recruit enough athletes in the secondary, linebackers who can play. They'll fill that in.
But he brought a couple of 4-star linebackers in that didn't play much at all this year.
Yeah, I know, Al. I'm just the linebacker position right now is wide open, right? Wide open, isn't
totally.
It?
And
it's going to be.
Well, got to come in and play.
For one thing, it was not good last year.
Exactly.
But it's going to be much improved.
Well, that's it. The defense better be a lot better. Defense was terrible. It was even one of the worst defenses in the country.
Yeah. It's got to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to get better.
So, I mean.
Well, if it does get better and the Bowens and these other kids come in and get the experience and they're ready to go the following year. But if they're ready to go and they get these big hosses that right now, it's really early. But you ask those guys, they'll tell you they got some hosses that are highly recruited that they feel good about. So if they can augment some of the guys that they have this year with a big, good, strong defensive class next year, that's when you begin. But you got to have that to just get into the fray in the SEC.
Well, here's a key. You could have one bad season, say it's a fluke, and still really recruit well. If you have another bad season,
right. Yeah,
then you got a mass major problem.
Oh,
first
Lord,
time yeah. OU has had a losing season, same time in football and basketball, 65-66.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how bad it is. So, Dean, what you thought about the Thunder since I've been gone?
Al, it's a really good basketball team that is well coached, that is stocked with good to really good players. That upside is substantial. The improvement of the guys there last night, those three rookies. That now we look up and Newsman Jang is out there killing it. I mean, here's a guy. All four of those new guys, we haven't seen Chad enough, but we know how good he is. All three of these other guys can really go. And we know Giddy can go in all the complementary pieces. I feel really good about them being competitive very soon. And I'm not talking about winning 50% of the games. I think they're there now. I feel really good about it, Al. Really good about it.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, really is exciting. Hey, Dino, thanks, man.
Okay. See you, Jimbo.
See you. Thank you. See you, Dino.
Jimbo, what's going on, Mrs. Sparky?
Dino, Jimbo, we are brothers. Mr. Sparky has got it going on, Al. They're, you know, they came to your house. They come to my house. They're amazing in what they do. And let me tell you this, too. They know what they're doing. They are top of the line, and they make sure that they do the job right. All their work is backed by 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And just remember, they clean up themselves. They do everything. They make sure that everything's perfect. Your home will be cleaner and safer than when they found it. So give them a call, 888-8-SPARKY, or you can go to MrSparky.com. What's up with
ServiceMaster restored by Eagle Eye. You know, last time I was away, my pipes froze. Every water's all over the place. They came in, the job they do, cleaning stuff up, air ducts, COVID cleaning maintenance, water fire restoration. They are just unbelievable. So you got to check them out. Service Master Store by Eagle Eye, 405-216-8000 or smbyee.com. Let's take an OG&E break. This month they're celebrating women's history and 98.1 FM. But so we'll come back with one more thing in the total.
Dominance.
This is your Oklahoma City Thunder All Access Pass, sponsored by
Triple Play Home Services.
Now here's Gideon Hamilton on WWLS, the Sports Animal.
It was a weekend sweep on the road for Oklahoma City, defeating New Orleans and San Antonio. First round pick Jalen Williams on how the Thunder are becoming a better team away from home.
I think we're doing a good job. I think we're getting stops when we need them. I think we're starting to share the ball and kind of come together more as a team. I think everybody's getting more comfortable playing with each other. And I think we know what it kind of takes and what kind of effort we need to bring to win on the road.
The Thunder are back in action tomorrow night when they host Brooklyn.
This has been your Oklahoma City Thunder All Access Pass on your Oklahoma City Thunder flagship station, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance.
What time is it?
Proud sponsors of WWLS, the Sports Animal, your Oklahoma City Thunder flagship station.
Very nice.
Beautiful. We are back with the show known in Nogales as the Toto.
Dominance.
Our Jim's in for Mrs. Sparky. I'm in for Service Master Restored by Eagle Eye. It was kind of interesting because, you know, you know all about Japan's and Japan. Played man,
yeah.
And you had translated. I just being in a country where no one speaks language. And I was in vacation in Colombia, there, but I mean, it's really difficult.
It really is, and you're right. I was very lucky. I had an interpreter that went everywhere with me, but I also had a player. I've told you this, my boy Mitsuyama, who wanted to learn English really bad. So he and I would go out together, and we had like a little baby computer, and we would learn each other's language, you know, back and forth. And my second year in Japan, I would tell the interpreters, I'm okay, I don't need you. And I would just go out. And so it is when you're in a place where no one speaks your language, it's tough. That's why I like going on vacations for the most part where they can speak some of the language, you know?
Yeah. Well, in Thailand, you got to take it in school.
Well, they do it in Japan, too. They take 7 years of English. You have to take 7 years of English in Japan.
Why can't no one speak it?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, because they're scared to speak it. Okay, they think that they're going to mess up, and they don't want to mess up in front of you. That's one. A lot of times they understand every word you're saying. But a lot of times the stuff they teach in school is more about verbs and nouns and adverbs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how many people yesterday I went to, you speak English. No.
That's because they're scared to death. I'm just telling you. They're scared.
It's a night and day between Thailand and Japan.
I agree with you, but I'm going to tell you this.
Let me ask you, Jim. Yeah. Is Japan a country where, you know, we bombed the hell out of them?
Yes, we did.
That maybe they resent Americans somewhat?
You know, it's unbelievable you say this, because I was just talking about this today. I played in the Pacific League, not in the Central League. And in the Central League, there was a team in Hiroshima, okay, which, of course, that was one of the Nagasaki atomic bomb.
Yeah.
And so I never played against them. But I made the All-Star team my second year there. And they played two All-Star games. One of them was in Tokyo, and one of them was in Hiroshima. So I remember we played the first one in Tokyo, and then we woke up the next morning and got on a bullet train to go to Hiroshima. And when I got to Hiroshima, to walk from the train station to where the hotel was, I could openly see that the people on the streets treated me differently than all the other places that I was. You could see them looking at me. They didn't like me. And, you know, I started to think to myself, I wonder if, like, their grandfather got killed in it. You know, or,
oh, sure,
they,
sure.
You know, they knew people, or people knew somebody.
Cousins, and then whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and then the older people, Al, they had a look on their face like they wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
They did. So I think there is some of that in there. Now, I would assume the further we get away from it, the less there'll be of that, you know.
Well,
but
my God,
there's no doubt.
It's almost 80 years.
Yeah, and then when I played back there, it was 70, 60, 50 years. So yeah. 50 years back then still.
Yeah.
But you could see in Hiroshima, most places people were really nice. But when I went there, you could feel it. You could feel it. It was weird. Really weird.
Yeah, it is.
And by the way, they still had a couple of the buildings that left standing.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that would be... It's like when I went, and this is in the early 80s, I went to East Berlin and West Berlin. And this
is when
the communists at East Berlin, the wall was still there. It looked like they did nothing in East Berlin since the war ended. Where West Berlin was rebuilt, this and that. And,
yeah.
Oh, my good. East Berlin, like I said, they did nothing to it. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I remember I walked by this building that was never changed. You know, so people nobody lived in it. It got bombed, but it was still, some of it was up. And every time I walked by, there were at least 20, and sometimes the other time I walked by three times, between 20 and 50 people kneeling outside, kind of praying to the building.
Wow.
So, you know, for people that don't know what we're talking about, go look at your history books. It was unbelievable the bombs that we put on those two places.
I mean, the thing burned shadows into the concrete.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Unbelievable.
I saw that, man. I saw it all. When I was over there, I saw it. Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wouldn't be good if you're outside and you get hit by an atomic bomb. That would not be fun at all.
No, it would not be.
Well, good luck with your MRI. I hope everything's going well. I mean,
I do too.
So your back is bothering you more than anything?
Yeah, my back is number one right now. So hopefully, I don't know when I'll find out about it, but I'll get that Sunday. And you know how much I hate going into an MRI, so I'm going to have to get all drugged up and everything to get in there.
What time you got to do that?
It starts at 8:30, so I will be up early in the morning and
goodness.
Drugging out so that I can get in there and try to lay in that thing.
Now, let me tell you something. Think of it. If you have a cough problem, I got a little some capsule that will really
That's unbelievable. You're unbelievable. I don't think I'm going to take it, but that's good at work for you.
I'm glad I went in. And you know what? You know, I go, I get maybe they say something in American. I go on there and it hit the translate button. Yeah, constipation that I got. I'm taking, and then also.
Is it Kaopectate? Was it Kaopectate?
No, it was a Thai drug.
Oh, it was everything
was in Thai on the box. I mean, I couldn't.
Now let me ask you: is it easier to pronounce that or easier to pronounce the girl that you met? Which one is it?
Well, the initials was K something thing, so it was easier with that and everything. Okay.
Well, you need to call her like Fim or Pim or something like that. Just forget the rest of the name.
I have a nickname. It's a good, cool nickname. I'll talk to you tomorrow. No, I will. I'll tell you. Hey, good luck tomorrow, okay?
Okay, I'll talk to you Wednesday.
We got the 68 team giveaway when you're back on Wednesday.
I know it. Over Unbelievable.
I'm excited about that, okay?
Very nice.
Take care.
See ya.
Let me tell you about Service Master Restore by Eagle Eye. Jimmy Moe. I said, they did it for me. It's unbelievable. They job by pipes froze. They came in. They at the Christmas. I mean, I called Jimmy Christmas day. Mullen, and they took care of it. They are big, and I do mean big time good. Going to go back, take phone calls. That's what we're going to do. 98.1 FM to the Sports Animal.
Stay with us.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I think so.
Al's live and local until 8.
This is Matt Pinto. Check out the latest edition of the Thunder Full Court Press at the podcast page at thesportsanimal.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.